Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. Chad and I are chatting with Steve Penny. He is the publisher of the Silver Chartist Report, and Steve has sent over a handful of charts here that we're going to cover, mostly focused on precious metals, but also mixing in what the dollar has been doing and some of the precious metals stocks in a broad sense, some ETFs there that we're going to cover. So to follow along, just look below this interview and we'll try to cover off these charts in order, starting with the US dollar. Now the US dollar has bounced and, as you're outlining in this chart, has broken above this general downtrend channel. You have it labeled here that this could be a potential bull flag forming, but again, this is still just a short-term bounce, and one of the significance here being that long-term support that the dollar managed to bounce off of, held right at the very beginning of this year, 2021, and in, let's say, late May, bounced from just above that level. So technically a bit of a higher low. Steve, in terms of the dollar and also its significance to the precious metals, because the two have been moving very inversely correlated recently, what do you think? What's your outlook for this US dollar? Is another leg higher?
Yeah, that's a great summary. And thanks for inviting me back on, Corey and Chad. Yeah, I've been watching the dollar really closely. And make no mistake, we are still in a primary downtrend. We've got a series of lower highs dating back to last March of 2020. However, we've seen a really sharp rally here in the dollar, and that's coincided with a sell-off in the metals. And as you mentioned, you know, the metals and the dollar don't always trade in a perfect inverse correlation. However, for the last handful of weeks here, they actually have. And what we're seeing right now on a daily chart for the dollar is we broke above that downtrend channel going back to last March, and that roughly coincides with the 200-day moving average. So now we're trying to bounce off of the 200-day moving average in the dollar, and you know, as a precious metals bull, I don't like to see the dollar, you know, in a bullish posture, but I don't think we should be surprised at all if we do see a little bit more bounce in the dollar towards that resistance at 93.43. That's the previous swing high. And then we could even rally up towards 94.65. And that's pretty stiff horizontal long-term resistance. So a little bit of strength here in the dollar could coincide with a bit more weakness in the metals, possibly.
Okay. Thanks for taking that. I know, just a quick comment on the dollar here, because it is in bounce right now. And yes, still very much, I think, in kind of a longer term downtrend. But let's see where the dollar goes from here, because there are still a lot of dollar bears out there. But not totally sure exactly where that level is going to be, where this bounce runs to. Now let's look into the daily gold chart here. It's a two-year chart that you've shared with us. A lot to take in here. Let's start with more of the short-term aspect of this head and shoulders formation, where possibly gold could be in the right shoulder. Let's start here. What are you watching in terms of the shorter term trading?
Yeah, you're right. There is a lot going on in that daily chart. I like to keep my charts clean, but I try and also include everything that I feel is the most significant. And in the bullish case here would be that we're hovering just above that horizontal support at 1770. And if that support holds and we do get a nice bounce here, that would carve out a nice reverse head and shoulders pattern. And I think that's likely. We're very oversold on gold. In fact, we're more oversold now than we were in March of 2020 during that big sell-off. So we are due for a bounce in the metals. However, the big test is going to be when we come back and retest resistance. What was previous support is now resistance. And the big one that's staring me right in the face is the now downsloping 200-day moving average, which is just above. That's currently at 1836. We really want to get back above that in short order, as when the price of anything really is trading below a downsloping 200-day moving average, those institutional trading algorithms tend to be in a sell the rally mode as opposed to a buy the dip mode. So we really want to get above that 200-day in short order.
Steve, if the inverse head and shoulders doesn't hold, and just taking the bearish side of the equation for a second, if it were to dip down and challenge the recent low around 1675, how crucial is that to hold if the inverse head and shoulder doesn't hold?
Yeah. Now, whether the current support holds or not, I mean, I think it's almost a coin toss, to be honest with you. But yeah, the next big support you properly identified down there at 1675, we formed a double bottom there earlier in the year back in March. So we really want to see 1675 hold if we do pull back. If 1675 were to fail, I mean, that's where some more technical damage would certainly be inflicted on the chart. And then this could take longer to resolve before we resume the uptrend in gold. So we really don't want to see 1675 fail. But, you know, we're still $100 above there.
Yeah, let me just ask you one other thing. You mentioned it being oversold on the chart indicators, like you're using the RSI. How much do you weight, Steve, the other chart indicators? Like when you're looking at momentum indicators and trend indicators on a chart, I notice you mostly focus on trend lines and moving averages. Do you give any weight to those extreme overbought signals or oversold signals on the other chart indicators that some technicians use?
Yeah, that's a great question. And the more experience I've gained as a trader and technical analyst, the less indicators I like to use. I prefer just nice, clean, simple charts. And what I found over time is that simplicity outperforms complexity, and having too many indicators on your chart can just confuse things. So I try and just focus on price and volume, classical chart patterns, and then I do throw an RSI on there just as an oversold or overbought indicator. So to be honest with you, I don't pay much attention to those other indicators. If I were to add one more, it would be MACD, but it's not something I look at on a daily basis.
I like that comment there, Steve, because yeah, some of these indicators, when it shows very oversold or very overbought levels, it can just signify that it's in either a bear market or a bull market. It can stay at those levels for a long time, and price can keep moving either lower or higher, depending where those momentum indicators stand. Quick other comment regarding that uptrend line. As you pointed out, this right shoulder is almost right at this uptrend line. It's obviously a very important uptrend line, because look at how many times gold has bounced from that during this multi-year run higher. If gold were to break below this uptrend line, would that signify a lot more selling in coming into the market? Do you think that would cause another quick move down?
It probably would, yeah. If we lost that uptrend line, then 1675 becomes the path of least resistance.
What about the importance here of coming to the month end as well? We are only a couple days away from the month end. I realize it's early on in the week, but monthly closes, especially, and this is a quarterly close as well, very important.
Yeah, you bring up a really good point. So we're not quite there yet, but if I'm pulling up the monthly chart now, we're kind of close to having a bearish engulfing monthly candle. We really don't want to see that. So we've got a couple days left here in the month. It would be really nice to see a long wick kind of on those weekly and monthly candles. And the bullish scenario here would be if we can reclaim that 200-day moving average this month and this week, then that would kind of change the short-term outlook and say, well, that was close. We were on the precipice, but we bounced nicely. So let's watch closely in this last couple of days of the month here.
All right, let's move it over to silver. Another daily chart going back 1 year. Note that you added to us when you sent this chart over is that silver is hanging on by a thread. Very different outlook for silver than what we had seen over the last over a year when silver was holding up better than gold. Give us a breakdown of this silver chart and, I guess, again, just how important this uptrend line is that you've labeled there.
Yeah, and again, I like to keep the charts clean and simple. So I hate to have two uptrend lines, but really I think both are significant. And you never want to really just move the goalposts. So I had been, for the longest time now, identifying this primary uptrend line going back to March of 2020. Well, that failed. So I left that on the chart there as a red dotted line. However, you can redraw a one-year green uptrend line, and we're sitting like pennies above that right now. And that happens to coincide with the 200-day moving average. I know a lot of people may say, hey, the 200-day moving average really isn't that significant. I mean, take a look at this silver chart right here. You can see the significance. We're bouncing right above that 200-day for the last six sessions here. And that's why I say hanging by a thread. Because if we fall here, we're going to lose that uptrend line, the last uptrend line, and we're going to lose support at the 200-day. And we could see another sharp move lower in silver. Now, I'm not necessarily predicting that. I'm just saying it's something that we need to be aware of. The optimistic case here is that we bounce. I've tell our members that my favorite place to buy is on a pullback towards a rising 200-day moving average. So we're right there in a lot of the stocks and with silver right now.
Well, Steve, you bring up a good point there, like two good points. One, we don't want to see that break the general uptrend of the higher lows, because then we're kind of entering a new market. And so if the dollar is going to potentially bounce, that may pressure silver. But on the optimistic side, if we do see a move up higher, there's that stiff resistance that silver has got to break, and that I'm going to call it around $30, but it's really in that $29 to $30 zone. Could you outline for people, if they did get into a good position on a dip in silver, and if it does move up there, where do you think the upside target is above that $30 level if we can actually clear it and get above that in silver?
I think once we get above 30, and to be specific, 30-35 was the little spike high on that first silver squeeze push back in February. So $30.35, once we get above that and get a nice weekly, monthly close, not to sound sensational, but I think $50 silver could come in fairly short order. And one reason I say that is that going back, long term, whenever gold makes a brand new all-time high, silver always follows suit. You know, it just lags behind. So I am expecting new all-time highs in silver, you know, in, over the intermediate to long term. And, you know, we're talking, I'm presenting some of the bearish case today over the short term, but I just want to highlight over the longer term, I couldn't possibly be more bullish over the intermediate to long term for silver and gold.
Okay, that's a key point right there because, yes, look, there is a lot of, I guess, bearishness, potential bearishness that we are seeing in these stocks, but longer term, you still like the sector. We'll get maybe another comment on that, but quickly into the miners. You shared with us the Sprott Junior Gold Miners ETF. You can also look at some of the silver miners ETFs. You can also just look at GDX or GDXJ. The stocks are leading lower right now, especially the majors, although the majors did recently get a bit of a bounce. What's your takeaway from the action in the stocks as well?
Yeah, same thing. I think you can summarize it as we're hanging by a thread. I mean, we're oversold. I'm looking at a chart right here for SILJ. And on the daily chart, we're extremely oversold. In fact, we're the most oversold we've been since March of 2020. So we're due for a bounce. However, we did lose that primary uptrend line going back to March. And if for those of you looking at the chart on the website, you'll see another nice uptrend line just about a dollar below, currently sitting about 1450 on SILJ. So we're hanging by a thread. I mean, we did lose that support on the weekly chart, but it's only Monday today. So we could get a nice long lower wick and close back above that support. So that's what I'm looking for in this week. We're really hanging by a thread here.
Well, Steve, just on the topic of the stocks, so if we're looking at some of these targets where we could potentially pick up a buy in these stocks as they are so oversold, what are you advising some of your subscribers to do? Let's just say if somebody is already positioned in stocks, of course they can hold through all this. But if somebody was thinking about adding and they're trying to figure out, is this a good time? Is this a bad time? What are you advising people to do here as far as adding to positions?
Yeah, that's such a good question because we all want to know the next short-term move. And I know I've said this before on your show, but you know, I like to deal in probabilities and strategies. And rather than predicting the next short-term move, I think it's more important to have a viable strategy to handle a variety of different outcomes. And what I'm personally doing is scaling in on weakness. So I am accumulating here while keeping cash available should we see even more discounted prices. So that's one strategy, but you could also dollar cost average. And then, of course, there's nothing wrong with just waiting for a technical reversal here and just being patient. That's a more conservative approach, and there's nothing wrong with that either. So rather than tell people what to do, I tell them what I'm doing and then present some alternative approaches.
Hey, I appreciate the way that you trade in these stocks and the way that you tell your subscribers how you're trading in these stocks too. I think very good to always have that strategy. But yeah, right now, I don't know, it seems a little risky to get kind of picky right now at the end of a month, end of a quarter. And as the short-term charts are showing a little weakness, let's finish with your general comment though. In terms of long-term, why are you still so encouraged when we are seeing so much potential weakness on these short-term charts?
Yeah, I focus on the technicals a lot, right? But really, the core thesis here is fundamental for me. And, you know, that's what got me into silver and gold in the first place was the bullish fundamentals. And, you know, silver and gold always do an accounting for the expansion of debt-based fiat currency. And I think, you know, the current macro environment here couldn't possibly be more bullish for the precious metals. We're facing a point where, you know, the federal government is, it's mathematically impossible for them to repay their debts and make good on their contingent liabilities. So they have two options. They can either default honestly, or they can inflate away the debt. And history suggests 100% of the time without fail that they're going to choose inflation. Now, you know, how long that may take to play out, that's where we look to the charts to gauge timing.
Exactly. And that's why I think some of these charts that you've shared with us are very important to consider. And again, these charts haven't broken down yet, right? But they have just come very close to some of these key levels that they really need to hold, and especially hold through the next couple days to the end of the month and the end of the quarter, and also always holding to the end of the week and not breaking down there. But hey, some interesting charts. No doubt the precious metals have been generally weak, especially over that last ever since peak in August. But we have gotten some encouraging bounces. We'll see where we go from here.
Yeah, one final comment on that is, you know, a lot of people talk about manipulation in silver, and you know, I believe the silver market is manipulated. I don't dwell on it. I don't blame every little sell-off on manipulation. However, if you subscribe to that, and you think about, look at this through the lens of the big bankers who want to manipulate this lower. I mean, they've got to be pretty enticed right here to smack it, give it one more push lower, because they know if they can, if we can close the week below these support levels, they can probably get a nice flush lower. So just another thing to think about.
Hey, great point. And I think another reason why I wouldn't be getting too aggressive right now, just because it is set up for another push lower, whether it's manipulation or simply just a technical sell-off in what has been a bit of a downtrend, at least short-term downtrend. Steve, always great chatting with you, buddy. I really appreciate your comments. I really appreciate the charts that you share. I will add a link to the Silver Chartist report below this interview, and I highly recommend everybody who is out there trading these stocks and watching the sector, definitely sign up for Steve's service. It's worth your time. Steve, thanks as always for your time, buddy. We'll chat again in another couple weeks.
You bet. Thank you, guys.